Welcome to the Atomic Podcast. Whether you're a nurse anesthesia resident in CRNA school or an RN trying to get there, you're in the right place.
I'm Sachi, and along with Rhea, we're going to talk all things anesthesia and science, and we're going to bring along some of our friends too.
Join us each week as we dive into all things science and anesthesia. Welcome to another episode of the Atomic Anesthesia Podcast. We are doing another residence corner about what to do when you fall behind in didactic work and how to catch up. One of the hardest parts about CRNA school is that you do expect it to be really hard going into it, and then it ends up being way harder than what you ever expected, 100x harder. And no one really is prepared for how difficult it is. It is truly a grind that most people will never experience in their professional lives. And so the resident that's joining us today, who we will keep anonymous through this episode, reached out to me because she wanted to discuss something that literally everyone has experienced in their academic careers, and that's falling behind in didactics and how to recover from it. If you haven't experienced this, please reach out to us about coming on the show to share your tactics, because I don't know anyone that hasn't gone through this at some point during their undergrad or graduate school career. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You wanted to reach out and discuss this topic. What prompted you to reach out to us and want to be on the show?
Well, first of all, your podcast is awesome. And as a first year anesthesia resident, the Residence Corner, I did listen to it, and it was basically about expectations in the OR. And that particular resident had explained just some of the, like, you know, kind of like fumbles in the OR. And I really appreciate that. I really appreciated just like the down to earth feel. And I just, it was interesting. And it kind of led me to just discuss with you like my experience. I'm not in clinical, but my fumbles have been in didactics so far. And, you know, it's just kind of like seeing how it might be for didactics and then getting through didactics and getting to the clinical, but like also having to get through didactics and navigating that for the first time ever. And just kind of like the whole process and all of the like just ups and downs that happened.
Yeah, definitely. So when you think about this topic, as far as falling behind in didactics and how to catch up and how to recover from that, what does that typically look like to you? Can you kind of paint the picture of maybe what that looks like maybe throughout a semester? And why do you think that this happens?
Sure. So for me, it can look anywhere from like you start school and things seem to start slow. Of course, you get your content the first week. In graduate school, there's no more syllabus week, which I'm getting used to. There's no more syllabus week, so there's no more breather week in the beginning. You start that and then you think you still have time because you might not have quizzes. You might not have immediate expectations. So for me, it looked like not having immediate expectations that I had to complete, having just a few classes in the beginning, and then getting a little bit too comfortable and not truly engaging. I was still at the point processing being in school in the first place, and I wasn't really truly able to get over those butterflies of being in school. Like, just starting school was kind of amazing for me. And eventually, it turned that immediate disengagement kind of like continued throughout the semester. So it's kind of like when you wake up, right? They always say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. So if you don't start off breakfast correctly, sometimes the rest of your day kind of goes awry. And that kind of happened for me when it came to starting my first semester of anesthesia school.
So do you think that your experience is unique, or did you feel like there were other people in your class that were experiencing the same things, or maybe they were and they weren't talking about it?
It's hard to say. Not many people talked about it. No one was really talking about that so much. I mean, we were all commiserating about how difficult the material was. And for me, actually, a lot of times I was like, oh, I didn't know that was even a topic. I was so disengaged. Yeah.
And why do you think that this is so common for everybody?
I would say, like, it's just a new experience. It's a whole professional experience that maybe some of us haven't been used to yet. I know for me, I got into school and I knew that it was graduate school, but I also hadn't really had many people around me that were in graduate school. So it was really hard just to kind of like build my own emotional path, like like mindful path down that for the first, like I didn't have like a guideline. So mm-hmm. me starting school and starting grad school in this path was my first time doing it and having my own, I was looking at myself and how to do it basically. So I think that's kind of why I kind of fell behind.
Did you come from a first generation like college family?
So I didn't, but I don't have any nurses in my family. I'm mm-hmm. pretty much the only, I'm the only nurse. I'm the only nurse in my family. And then in my immediate family, I'm the only, my mom has a master's degree, but no one in my immediate family has a doctorate, like not even like a PhD. So I don't know any familial NPs. I don't know any PAs. I don't know any CRNAs in my immediate family. So I don't, it was kind of like an interesting perspective just being that first one.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So no like healthcare workers in your family that have were able to like mentor you through the process or even just set up some kind of expectation for you?
No.
I think one of the interesting things that you asked, because I don't think I've ever been asked this before, was how far behind can you get without really jeopardizing your progress? I thought that was so interesting because I think that's, it almost reminds me of like, I'm not comparing you to my kid, but I know my kid sometimes is like, how much of this boundary can I push right now? And I get what you're trying to say. And I think it does depend on what your main goals are. So if your goal is to get a 4.0, right, GPA, that the way you tackle the semester is going to look a lot different than if you say your main goal is, well, I want to maintain as much knowledge as I can for when I start clinical. And there's a lot of people there that don't care about getting a 4.0. And that's, you know, 4.0 is not everything. I always like to have a buffer. So I'm like, well, at least if I'm in the A range, then I'm not pushing the boundaries of failing class, right? So, you know, if you're like, I'm just going to barely get a B or I'm going to barely pass, I'm like, that's a little dangerous to be teetering that line and stressful for me. But, you know, so I think that as far as how far behind can you get, I think it just all depends on what your main goals are. So I think that's very personalized. But, you know, I think that you're right in that, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, in that when you start getting even a little bit behind, it can snowball really quickly, right? To being very, very behind. And then also all the emotional stuff that comes along with it, right?
Right.
What are like some of the emotions that you feel when you start to get behind?
You start feeling like you're not truly part of your class, for one. Mm-hmm, that's how I felt. You start feeling like you are in school, but you're not a part of it, really. Like, for me, I like, can I really call myself an SRNA? Because I'm not even really passing currently. And it's a really weird feeling. Because even though I maybe wasn't passing in the beginning, you know, I still had a chance to pass. And so I hadn't failed out, right? So, because I had already asked myself the question, like, how far can I go? So while I was pretty disengaged, I still had a GPA calculator. I use Rapid Tables, and I would calculate what grades I need to get in order to pass this class because the syllabus is laid out for us. So you can calculate basically like what you need to earn to pass the class. And every test, I'd be like, okay, well, I can still get an A, or I can, you know, if I ace this next test, I can still get an A. Or if I ace this next test, eventually it's like, if I ace this next test, I can still get a B and pass the class. So it takes up a little degree of self-awareness as well, just knowing exactly how far you can go. And also having grit, as well as like, you have to really be really resilient, because even if you are behind, you know, for whatever reason, whether it be your own doing or things happen in your life, it's still worth it to try your hardest for what you can do. Do your best. Don't get discouraged and keep going. But your mind at that point is going to be constantly telling you that you can't do it. And it's going to be constantly comparing you to your classmates who are, you know, well versed in the topics by now. They know what the prior test is about. If your tests are cumulative, they know what this current test is going to be about. So you kind of really have to just believe in yourself no matter what. I mean, you might go into school thinking that you're going to do so well, right? But you really don't know until you get into school. And it might be a surprise, might come as a surprise to you as it did to me, that I have to work a lot harder if I want to even just pass, which really wasn't a thing for me at first. So, but coming into that knowledge, you know, if you come into that knowledge about yourself, you have to truly decide, are you going to be discouraged or are you going to just work harder?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's also, you know, one of the webinars that I just had, I talked about the fixed mindset versus the growth mindset. And a lot of what can push you through is just the way that you approach that situation, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a fixed mindset, like you said, constantly comparing yourself to other people, thinking that your traits are innate and inflexible, as opposed to they get better through like discipline and, you know, putting in the reps, right? Putting in the work. And I think that for maybe other professors that are out there or other mentors, I think that it's easy for some of us to say, well, just don't fall behind. It's easy as that. But that's not the reality, right? Like everybody falls behind at some point. So when this does happen, let's talk about some tools that you've used in the past. And I'll share some tools I've used as well, because I've certainly fallen behind. Heck, I'm behind right now on a couple of papers that I have to write. And, you know, so how do you get back on track? What are some tools that you use to kind of, you know, you've recognized that you're falling behind and now you're like, I need to do something or else I'm going to have a potentially bad outcome or just not reach the goals that I want to reach.
Right. So I just dig into my brain. Just kidding. So besides, I have Notability as an app. I do use that. Like I said, I do use also Rapid Tables. So I'm not GPA motivated, but that did help me to keep me like going. Like, okay, I can still pass this class. It's not over. That did help me. So I would, plugged in my assignments, what I would need in my current grade and my potential grades and decide what I would need to do in order to pass the class. And I use that to motivate me. Other things I did was just I blocked off time. I was working very like a minimal amount. So I basically just dug in, studied constantly for like the last few assignments using Notability. And that's pretty much it. I didn't use a bunch of other tools. I did use Anki briefly, but for the most part, it was just going over the material, just constant repetition.
Yeah, definitely. I always tell people that if you are starting to get behind, you might have to dedicate a short period of time. I don't know what name to give it except for like a short grind burst. Mm-hmm. But you may have to dedicate a very brief period of time to catch up at the sacrifice of literally everything else.
Literally everything.
I mean, family, sleep, your health. But it's a short period of time, so it's okay. You'll recover physically. But to just say, okay, I am going to lock myself in my room the entire weekend and I'm just going to grind this out and catch up and then make sure I don't fall behind again. So I do think that sometimes those short periods are very necessary just to kind of like cross a bunch of stuff off your list. You talked about a little bit about prioritization, you know, how to say you've realized that you just can't get it all done. Right. How do you kind of prioritize the most important things to focus on?
So, I mean, we're all going to have multiple classes, obviously. So what I did is I definitely didn't get behind in any of my like, quote unquote, easier classes. I made sure to stay like, you know, on track with those. So I would get that work out of the way as much as early as I could. I definitely did not get behind in my writing classes. I made sure to stay on top of those. So I only needed to get on track with my science class. To prioritize information there, I would group the topics into what was kind of easier concepts for me to grasp, and then I would group the harder ones together. So I would make it easier for me to plan my dedicated like a whole day because I'm behind. But dedicate a whole day to easier concepts, and then do the harder ones together as well. So it might look like three easy concepts in one day, next day two harder concepts. And then I would rotate. So after that, three easy, two harder. And then by that point, I covered the material three or four times before the final or test.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, you talked a little bit about mindset, you know, just kind of getting into the right mindsets when you start to fall behind. Because you were saying that, you know, even though you're falling behind, don't give up. Like you still have a chance to pass or you still have a chance to, you know, meet whatever goal you set for yourself. Are there any kind of mindset tricks that you use to kind of maintain that focus?
It came to me in a way that, like, I've quit school before and I knew I couldn't quit school now. So it came in a form of like, I literally can't quit. Like, there is no other option for me. I have to do this. I have to pass. I'm going to complete this class and I can still pass. I don't have any excuses. So accepting that I didn't have any excuses actually really did help. It didn't put more pressure on me. Like, bad pressure was good. Good, you know, ooze stress. It was good stress to have, just to remind myself that the only way out is through. And basically that, the only other mindset I had was just, I'm going to lose a lot of sleep. I knew that. I was prepared for that. I was prepared to just grind it out for a week or two. And then I hadn't waited till the very last, to the very end, some assignments were due and I was doing well on those assignments. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can do this. So you got to give yourself, you don't want to fully crash out. You got to give yourself time to show yourself, prove to yourself, not anybody else, that you can do it. And then when you do it, when you can achieve, you know, that grade, you know you can, but you've proven that you can. And that also will encourage you to just keep going. Even if you don't get that grade that you originally wanted, you will still pass.
I tell people all the time, you have to celebrate your small wins.
Yeah.
You don't get the big, grandiose, you know, finish lines very often, right? And so you're in this grind for so long that if you don't celebrate the tiny wins that you have every day, every week, you know, every couple weeks, then it just feels like such a drag.
Right. You
know? And sometimes my husband and I would just get like a bottle of champagne for something like literally so silly, like, oh, I just submitted this paper. Let's go get a bottle of champagne. And it sounds ridiculous, right? Because you're like, what's the big deal? But it's like you have to continuously pat yourself on the back for a long time because nobody else is going to do it for you. You know, it has to be you.
And it's no small feat to congratulate yourself and celebrate yourself because like a lot of us are super high achiever, super self-critical. So, you know, for a little bit, I was like, well, I did well, but well, I could have done better if I had been studying longer, something like that. You know, just negative self-talk. It really isn't necessary. Just positively talk to yourself, celebrate the small wins. Any time you pass a test or a quiz, you should celebrate yourself, pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing that I've noticed definitely within myself and with other people is that people tend to fail as they, or not fail, but tend to start to give up as they get closer to the finish line, which is kind of ironic in such a way, for me anyway, because you would think that as you get closer to the finish line, you would just like see the end of the tunnel and be like, all right, I'm almost there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happens to people is that in the beginning, you're relying a lot on motivation to get you through the first couple weeks. You're really excited about being in CRNA school. You're really, you know, happy to be there. You're inspired. You're like, I'm going to do really well. I have a lot of energy. As people start to go along the semester, they start to be in this grind for, you know, week two, week three, week four, week five. And so they start to kind of slow down their pace a little bit, start to burn out. And what I've noticed is that, you know, say an average semester is 16 weeks long, right?
Mm-hmm.
People start to lose steam typically around week 9 or 10. Just historically, that's what I've seen in people. So they're a little over 2 months in, they're a little over halfway over, and people really start to burn out and really start to lose steam. And the only thing that can get you across that finish line all the way is pure grit and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And I always see this as, you know, motivation is the energy that you get when you feel excited and when you feel inspired to do something, when you want to do something. And discipline is doing it when you don't want to do it, right?
Right.
You know that you have studying to do, but you're like, I feel so overwhelmed and anxious about this. I'm just going to go turn on the true crime instead. And and the discipline is just knowing that, hey, I know I have stuff to do and I'm going to do it, even though this friggin' sucks right now.
Right.
You know? And I do think that is the difference between somebody who is an A student and somebody who is a BC student, is who is going to keep going and keep the reps up all the way until the finish line.
Right.
You know, all the way until the buzzer goes off. One of the analogies that I could think of, like, I used to do CrossFit a lot. And one of the types of workouts in CrossFit is called AMRAP.
As many reps as possible.
As many reps as possible, right. In a set time period. So it could be 12 minutes, say. And there's two types of people that do this workout. There's when you get towards the end of the AMRAP, usually the coach will start to say, you have 1 minute left. And then they'll come down to you have 30 seconds left. And then you have 5 seconds left or 10 seconds left. And there are two types of people. There's one person that will say, okay, well, I have 5 seconds left. That's not enough time for me to complete this last rep. So I'm just going to stop. Right. And then there's the other type of person that just completely ignores the time and just keeps going balls to the wall until that buzzer goes off. Right. And it really is two different types of people, two different types of mindsets. And I think that translates well to this situation, too. It's like, are you the type of person that you're like, all right, I have 5 seconds left. What I did was good enough. And I'm going to just accept my fate. Mm-hmm. Or I have 5 seconds left and I'm just going to keep giving it everything that I've got.
Right? Exactly.
And that's the difference between somebody that does well and somebody that's mediocre.
Exactly. And somebody who's going to pass school and not get through it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard because you've done that you have to do that for like 9 semesters. That's a long time, right? It's like, all right, semester one is over. I get a couple days off. And I'm right back to it all over again. It never ends. Yeah. And then now you have to go to clinical on top of that, especially if you're in an integrated program. Man, CRNA school is no joke. It's brutal. Yeah.
I'm learning.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we talked a little bit about some strategies that you use to kind of catch up, some mindset things. And definitely, you know, a lot of this too is time management. I think a lot of people get behind because they don't have good time management skills. We definitely had a whole webinar series on this and we put that into a podcast episode. So just if you're listening to this, just look a couple episodes back and we have one about time management. I discuss a lot of different strategies that you can use to, you know, kind of fine tune your study time and you know, your final schedule. One of the other things that I suggest or I tell people is that you mentioned this too, when you start the semester, you don't have any like immediate pending assignments due. So you get a little, I don't know how else to say, but like a little lax, like you get comfortable, right? You get comfortable because there isn't like a quiz 3 days from now. And I always tell people that if you have a term paper due or you have an exam in a couple weeks, like you think you have time and you don't. You have zero time. And if you don't schedule your study sessions or your writing sessions in your calendar right away and discipline yourself to say, okay, every Sunday I'm going to write, every, you know, Monday through Thursday I'm going to study, even though you have nothing pending on the horizon, I think people are already behind.
Right.
If you're not thinking about those things. Is that something now, like a couple semesters in, that you plan out a little bit, like you plan out your semester a little bit better?
I'm getting there. I'm a little bit better with it. I don't do like the same day every week, but what I do is I do look at like if there's a writing assignment due and I have the instructions, I'll try to complete that like as early as possible. Because you're right, if 2 weeks is really no time, there's so much that happens in that midst of 2 weeks, especially if you're in clinical. And really, like, there's so much going on. If you can get something done early, just do that.
Yeah, definitely. For me also, especially as I get older too, I don't feel physically good all the time, right? You get sick, you get the flu, you whatever. And I always get paranoid now that I'm going to be out for the count in like a couple weeks. So if I'm like, if I'm feeling good now and I'm healthy now and I'm able to like do work, I'm doing work because who knows, like, you could be up against that deadline and all of a sudden you have a stomach bug or you got the flu or something terrible happens and now it's just misery.
Yeah, I'm learning that too. Like I could finish an assignment kind of early and then I have other assignments due. And then by the time those assignments are completed, I'm like, oh, that other assignment was due now and I have others due. So it's like it just kind of compiles and I don't know, it goes super fast.
I don't even like turn the assignments. Like, I'll get them done, but I won't even turn them in. I'll just let them sit there until the due date because I'm like, okay, if I have time to come back to this and make it even better, I will. I know people are listening to this and they're like, yeah, no, we don't have that kind of time. I think like if I have a writing assignment, you know, and I, you know, I get it done. And then if I get all my other stuff done, I might come back to it and say, like, how can I turn on a better quality product?
Yeah, so, that was anyway. One of the pluses that I did. I did, like I said, I don't get behind in your writing classes because those are pretty, you know, they help your GPA. I will say that. But like I would complete those assignments a little bit early. And then I did a couple of times go back to an assignment and improve it. And it was by the end of the semester, like I had caught up and I felt good that I was on top of that assignment that I could fix it. So it's like, I know there, like I said, celebrate the small wins and then you'll find that your work does pay off eventually, but also kind of immediately.
So what are, you know, talking about the challenges now that people often face, and we talked a little bit in the beginning about why this happens. What do you think are some of the main challenges that people have with staying disciplined and moving forward towards their goals throughout the semester?
I would say expectations. Like you really don't, like for me, I really didn't know what to expect. I really didn't know how to progress in my studies. I had a syllabus and due dates, but I still didn't know when do I study and how much do I study. So it was kind of feeling that out as I went. And then the harder it got for me to really get that feel was the more disengaged I did become. So it's, I say it, challenges would be just maintaining engagement and just figuring out what works for you could be a challenge. You might have to accept that. It might be a challenge. You might come to find that it might impact your grade a little bit, but you'll figure it out eventually.
Can we dive a little bit more into what you mean by being disengaged and how then to stay engaged? Because I'm guessing that that's something within you personally, right?
Right. By that, I mean...
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah. So, like I said, in the beginning of the semester, there weren't any immediate assignments. So I truly didn't know when or where to start. And internally, I have this thing where I don't want to overdo it. Like, I don't want to go crazy. At the same time, I also had butterflies. Like, so I was in school, we're in CRNA school, and I could not keep calm about that. So I was freaking out about that. And I was thinking more about the whole being of being in school versus engaging with school to the point where, like, I wasn't engaged with the content. Like, I literally wouldn't know, like, the topic. I would just wait for, like, the test to come up, and I go, okay, what's this about? You know, like, it was really interesting. It's like, I really, truly, it was like I wasn't even part of the school, the semester. It was like I was completely, like, a different person until the end. It was as though I woke up and someone had been in charge of me that whole time. It was really weird. It was such a weird feeling. I don't know if I really don't know if anyone else has experienced that, but that's how it was for me. In the beginning, it was maybe so new to me and so hard for me to understand where to start, what to do, when to study, how much to study, how much am I supposed to be learning, what is important. So much to the point that my brain just shut off. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, and it shut off for like a good half of the semester. I don't know how to advise anyone to get out of that, except for the fact that, like I said, I had already quit school before. So I knew that I wasn't going to quit school this time, especially not being in anesthesia school. And I had accepted that I wasn't going to get straight A's. I didn't let that discourage me. But it was a challenge. Most of it was an emotional challenge too. I didn't really have any other priorities, but I was so checked out. I will say to Dr. Tamerman that like I would do other things. Like I had like hobbies. I was doing those things. I just wasn't doing my schoolwork.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you might have already mentioned this, but what do you think was like the biggest change to your habits?
I really, like towards the end, I really hated that feeling of scrambling. I don't like the feeling of scrambling. Like, even though it might have been like my fault that I had been in the situation, I still very much didn't like it. I still very much don't like that being anxious and having to stay up 2 weeks and getting minimal sleep for 2 weeks, because if I don't, then I'm going to fail. I don't like that feeling at all.
And like we said, it's such a long grind that you can't be sleep deprived for 3 years straight.
Yeah, it's not going
to
work.
You have to figure out some habits. Yeah. I heard a really interesting quote today from somebody that I follow that said that it's not your 9 to 5 that's sabotaging you. It's your 5 to 9. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really interesting because they meant it's not like what you're doing during your work hours. It's what you're doing on your not work hours. So 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. And what you're doing during those times really can make or break your progress and your success. So, you know, looking at the morning time, are you sleeping in or are you getting up early and trying to get a few extra reps in before you go to class, like doing mm-hmm. those extra quiz questions? And when you get home, are you immediately watching TV or are you going to do a few more passes at your content and make your flashcards and do your reading? And I think some people would hear that and say, well, wait a minute. That means I'm doing stuff from the minute I get up to the minute I go to bed. And yeah, that's graduate school. That's why it sucks so bad, is because you feel like all this other like little extra time that you ever had for yourself is gone. And now you're having to put in all of this time, like any little extra tidbit of, you know, time that you have into this goal that you have, into, you know, passing and doing well in class.
Yeah, exactly. Like even like little apps that might distract you, just don't log in.
Sometimes I have to just delete it from the phone because it's just so, you know. So I think sometimes our brains can't handle the tiniest little bit of
distraction
or boredom, even boredom. Like we can't be bored for 2 seconds. Like my browser sometimes is taking a little too long to load. And my phone's right there, I will pick it up and open up Instagram.
Same.
You know? So it's like they can't even be in the room with me. So anyway, let's kind of wrap it up by talking about some ways that you can just prevent this from happening in the future.
Yeah. I would say I started off by remembering that I hated being behind and how that felt and all that anxious feeling. I made a calendar for the next upcoming semester of just the biggest assignments, like so exams and papers that might be due. And in-person requirements, I made that calendar. So I didn't put like all the little requirements, but I did put the big ones just to prepare myself for the big assignments that would happen each month. And so I separated that. And I always read my syllabi, read those ahead of time to know what are the expectations in each class. And again, that's different for me because starting off in the last semester, you know, you can be a little bit disengaged, like, okay, well, syllabus is syllabus. You'll learn what you need to know, like, as the class goes on. But it's really important, like you did mention too, like reading ahead, even read your syllabus ahead. It does help to so you know what, when or where to reply for a discussion board or when is an assignment due or how even to turn it in. And just, I guess, a little more preparation and expectations for myself and knowing what I needed. So when I was cramming and studying really hard and grind in the prior semester, I learned about how long it takes me to grasp the material. So like it's about 6 to 8 hours or so. So I factor that into my current studying. So I know that I can't rush through content. So I know when I set up a study date, I know I'm going to take this much time to go through this content. So it also helps to know about like what you need so that you can prepare yourself.
And that takes time to learn about yourself. It takes, I think it takes at least a semester or two to really understand yourself and your professor mm-hmm. and how to balance all that. Cause you're right. Like that some people are fast writers, some people are slow writers. You have to know how long it's gonna, I think that's the hardest part is people can't estimate how long it's gonna take them to do something.
Right.
Until you've done it. Right.
You learn really fast when it's all you have before you fail.
Yeah, definitely. One way that I always stayed ahead and never got behind, and I actually didn't really learn this until I got into my PhD program, was that I would not wait for the actual lecture to be the first time I heard that material. And so meaning if I had the slides ahead of time, what I would do is I would actually start turning my slides into a study guide and I would skim the reading ahead of time so that I started familiarizing myself with the topics that were, I might not have understood it all, but at least, you know, I could watch a couple YouTube videos, or I could, you know, do a couple things so that when the professor starts talking about that topic, it's not the first time that I've heard it. It should be at least the second time, if not the third time, that I've been exposed to that material. And so it made studying a lot more efficient for me because I didn't zone out as much during the lecture. Since I had a little bit of background knowledge, I was able to build on what I had read and learned. And then when I went to study, you know, that's now like the fourth or fifth time you've seen the material. So I think just getting as much exposure with it as possible before you even see it from the professor helped me a lot.
Absolutely. I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah. And it was more efficient for me too, because during the class, I actually would not take notes on my PowerPoint. I just took notes on my study guide. And so by the time the class was over, the study guide was already done. And so I didn't have to spend time making a study guide. I just had to study what I already made.
Ooh.
Images and everything. Yeah. So awesome. I think we covered a lot in this episode. And certainly I think each one of those topics, you can record a whole episode on its own. But yeah, so we definitely, you know, I think we talked about a topic that a lot of people experience and not a lot of people talk about. People definitely feel embarrassed to admit to their colleagues, classmates, and professors that they are falling behind and they don't really seek out help, you know, and they might feel like they're alone in this. So I'm hoping that anybody that's listening to this episode and you're in this boat, don't worry. We've all been there. We're all still in the same boat as you.
Yeah.
of trying to catch up. We talked about some strategies to get back on track, some challenges that you might face, and just a couple of tactics on how to prevent this from happening in the future as you make a lot of progress towards your long-term goals. So any last minute things or items that you wanted to mention?
No, I just want to say thank you for having me. And yeah, everyone be encouraged. You've got this. I'm still in it. You will be too.
Awesome. Thank you so much.